God for Baptist doctrine, but we've started this church with a vision for revival. I remember the business meeting. I was on Clay Avenue in an upper apartment there of Tom and Rhonda Schaff, and we had that business meeting. Dr. Charles Ware, he wasn't doctor then, he was just Charlie, our pastor. And he had a vision for revival, and he talked about it and prayed about it. And I raised my hand. I said, I propose the name of this church be the Scranton Revival Baptist Church, or Fellowship at that time. And it was seconded and passed, and that's how we got the name. So I like to preach about revival. We have a Revival Seekers prayer meeting. It's been going on for over 50 years. And I'd like to talk about that tonight. We've been preaching on a series of messages called Steps for Revival. Steps for Your Revival. And this will be the third message. And this message is called Preparing You for the Pouring Out of Revival Power. Preparing you for the pouring out of revival power. And in verse 14 of Ephesians 3, and what we're looking at in Ephesians is teaching on revival. It's one thing to experience it in the book of Acts, that's history, but here we have teaching from an inspired letter of the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, he wanted this for all of his churches. All of his churches he wanted to be revival Baptist churches. Amen? Just like the First Baptist Church at Jerusalem, he wanted that to be that. And remember, the leaders of that church had Baptist baptisms. They were baptized by John the Methodist, John the Presbyterian. No, John the Baptist. And he says this in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get back to bowing our knees, plural, to God and taking a humble stance and pray. We need to get back to the altar and bend the knee at the altar. Amen? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, come to the altar. I added that, but it fits. Bow their knees and make decisions and pray. Oh, no, we're too big for that now. We're too old for that. We're too smart for that. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're at Revival Baptist Church. Don't expect Presbyterian preaching here. And so I'm saying you need to have a preparing yourself for the pouring out of revival blessing, revival power. Now, last time I mentioned an Arminian teaching popularized by Charles Grandjean Finney. I mentioned I wouldn't name my cat Charles C. Finney. But I have talked about Finney, and I believe he did have the power of God in his ministry, although there were some great men of God that had the power of God during that time. I guess that would be like the time of the Second Great Awakening. But at any rate, there was an Arminian teaching coming out of that. And Finney taught this. He said, if you do this and that and this and that, you will have revival. It's guaranteed, but you've got to follow the steps of revival. Let me just tell you something. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you can just say we're going to have revival meeting. You can have revival meetings, but we're going to have revival. Down south, they followed that. There are many in a lot. Oh, we'll just have revival. We're going to have revivals. No, you're not going to have revival. God gives revival. You can seek it. You can pray for it. I am a revival seeker, and that was Finney's teaching, and Finney believed it was like a farmer who needed to plow the ground, plant the seed, and water it with prayer. But the Calvinistic view, and then you'll have revival, it's guaranteed. But the Calvinistic view, men like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, and many other lesser lights, they said, yes, plow the ground, plow your heart. Do that. Pray for rain. But God sovereignly controls the degree and timing of the rain that's going to fall. And that's what it says here in Ephesians 3, verse 60. Notice it says that He, the Father, would what? Grant you according to the riches of his glory, to have these blessings that are revival blessings. So God the Father is granting you when you get revival, where you get revival, and the wherefores. Now, but God does bless plowing. God does bless planting. God does bless. But we don't know the degree of the blessing, but we can pray and persevere in prayer, and sooner or later God will grant it. And so I want to say two things tonight about this subject of preparing you and preparing yourself for the pouring out of revival power. And first of all, I want to say that revival comes after persecution for it. You see, Paul is writing to the Ephesians here, and he says, for this cause, this is verse 1 and verse 13, Ephesians 3, 1, he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And then he goes on in verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. In other words, Paul is saying, hey, I don't want you to get discouraged because I'm in jail for you. I don't want you to get discouraged that as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've got arrested. I'm going through tribulation. He said, no, that is actually for your glory. And what is glory? Glory is the presence and power of the Spirit of God, and therefore of Jesus Christ in and through the church. We said in the book of Acts there is a victory circle that began on the day of Pentecost and continued in Acts chapter 4 and continued throughout the book of Acts. And what is it? First of all, number one, pray for revival. Pray for the power of God. Jesus said, pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he's going to come in mighty power in his first coming. And then when you get that, he said, you're going to have power. And ye shall receive what? Power. Power to do what? Get people saved. And that's the third P. People. They get saved in revival. So you have prayer for it. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. Then people start getting saved. When people start getting saved. Oh, I skipped something. Prayer, the power, you got to preach the gospel. You don't want to skip over that. That's hyper-Calvinism. Amen. You skip over prayer. No, God always works through soul winning. God, hyper-Calvinism says you skip over. No, you don't skip over that. We don't skip over that. Last night I was in Walmart, gave the gospel, and three people said they'd pray to receive Christ. I had one pray to receive Christ. I got all of his information. He lives up in Newton. And a 19-year-old fella, I'm always giving the gospel. I've led probably around 320, 330 people to the Lord this year to pray to receive Christ. Preaching the gospel, prayer, power of the Holy Spirit, proclaim the gospel, and then people will get saved. And then when they get saved, what happens next?
Persecution.
And that's what he's talking about. Don't faint at my persecutions. Don't faint at my tribulations. They're for your glory. God follows that with more prayer and then more power of the Holy Spirit, which is revival. And that's what we need. And it's lost in many churches today. It's lost in many Baptist churches today. They say, what are you, a Pentecostal? They accused us of being a Pentecostal when I was in Bible college. I said, no, I'm a Bapticostal. Billy Sunday said, I want to have the head of a Baptist. See, and some of my Pentecostal brethren, they need to get the head of a Baptist. They need to listen to our teaching. The heart of a Pentecostal and the feet of a Jehovah Witness. That's what Billy Sunday said. But I'm saying to you tonight that revival comes often after persecution. You see that in the book of Acts. They prayed the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They went out and they went out preaching the gospel. People were getting saved like crazy in Jerusalem. And the church went from 120 to 3,000 to 5,000. It was just growing. They got deacons and it was growing. And then what happened? Persecution. The apostles got arrested. They got beaten and all the rest of it. What'd that lead to? Acts 4, they're back at prayer again. What happened? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They got refilled. They got refilled with the Holy Ghost. And they went out and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. I tell people, when you feel the power of God through the anointing gift of the man of God in church, man, don't just hang around the church. You can hang around a while, but get out there and take it out there and give the gospel. God will bless. That's what we need. And so that's what happened in the book of Acts. And when that happened, God blessed. But then what happened, they got all excited about their church. And instead of going out and planting other churches, their church grew to 25,000. Some believe it went to 100,000. I don't know how big it was, but the Jerusalem church, they thought this is heaven on earth. And God said, no, you're supposed to go out to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. That Jerusalem is like your Jerusalem. I've told you where our Jerusalem is. Your Judea is somewhere in your state. And then your Samaria is plant churches in America and beyond. That's what God wants. And so they weren't doing it. So God let a great persecution come on the church, and the devil raised up a man called Saul, who was filled with Satan, and he killed one of the main witnesses of the church, a deacon by the name of Stephen. Stephen was an on-fire soul-winning deacon. Amen and amen. Like a brother Joe, a soul-winning, on-fire deacon. And anyway, Stephen, the deacon, he got killed. And why? Because Satan wanted to stop him. But what does it say? The blood of the martyrs. What happened? They started praying again. The power of God filled them again. And what happened right after Stephen got killed? It said there was a great persecution, and Saul was consenting, Acts 8:1, unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church that was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered, Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Can you imagine, though, when they were scattered, what it says? It says they went everywhere preaching the word. So you know they were praying. You know they were refilled with power. And you know now they were preaching the word everywhere. And people were getting saved. And because of that, another great church started up in Syria called the Church at Antioch, which grew in the days of John Chrysostom to 300,000 people who all met together in a huge amphitheater in Antioch in Syria. I'm just telling you, my friend, God says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We need vision tonight. Without a vision, the people perish. I thank God for MAGA and what it's done for the United States. I thank God for Turning Point USA and what it's done. And I believe Charlie Kirk is a modern day martyr. Thank God for his wife and her courage under fire and persecution. But I want to tell you something. We need the independent fundamental Baptist to be a revival Baptist. We need revival here at Scranton Revival. We need to pray for the power of God. And what do we see? Proclamation of the gospel. That church, it was everybody but the apostles. They were still in Jerusalem. It was the people of the church. They were scattered with power, and they were given the gospel. People were getting saved. That's how that church started. Then later they sent a leader up there by the name of Barnabas. Oh, I'm just saying to you, would to God we would finish the mission that God has given us to do. Would we'd have more people come out tomorrow night for all church soul winning, hand out tracts, and do something for God. Get off your blessed assurance and get out there and do something for God while you have time. Don't leave it to the Charlie Kirk's guy. He can't do it now. He's in heaven. You do it. Don't let the blood of Charlie Kirk be in vain. Let it stir you up as an independent fundamental Baptist. And that's why the power of the Holy Spirit. And ye shall receive power what? So you'll speak in some unknown tongue, which, by the way, tongues were a gift of an unknown language that you didn't know, like Spanish, Italian, and you could speak it. And it could be interpreted. But what I want to say to you tonight And ye shall receive power, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. That's the key. Unto me. And when the witness went out, if it was effective with the power of God, it cut people. Either they got saved or they killed you like Charlie Kirk. That's the response. You say, well then, what happened to the Apostle Paul when he got saved? Well, he was at Antioch, and what did he do? He got saved, right away he got baptized, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You read it, Acts chapter, whatever it is there, 8. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he did, what did he do? He started boldly preaching about Jesus in Damascus, Syria. And what happened? They tried to kill him already. How'd he get out of there? They let him out over the city walls in a basket. And he escaped with his life. I'm just saying to you, that's New Testament revival. And that's what happened. That was in Acts chapter 9, not 8. That all that happened and he escaped. But with great persecution, you got to watch out, because sometimes people, when they get into persecution, they want to kill their enemies. I spoke about Candace Owens, and I said what she's doing is lower than pond scum. What she's doing is lower than slime spit. What she's doing to the Jewish people is causing people to want to kill them. And they are killing them. And government officials are not speaking up in Australia, and Stormer in Britain, and Macron in France. And these guys are sorry people. I'll admit it. But so was Saul. He was an enemy. But you know what? Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? Stephen, when he was dying, he said, lay not this sin to their charge. He didn't want to send them to hell. He wanted to get them saved. Charlie Kirk's widow, I forgive that young man. That's strength. That's power. People have attacked her. They've gone after her. Candace Owens, by implication, has gone after her by going after all of Charlie Kirk's hand-picked people and all this stuff. Now, I would to God that she get saved. She met with Erica Kirk. She no doubt saw reality right in her face. But she probably also saw the danger of a lawsuit, because there were lawyers there. And when you speak against public figures, they can't sue you if you think what you are saying is true. But once the facts are presented in lawyers' presence, and then you keep purporting that garbage that she's been purporting, which are lies, proven to be so and documented with receipts by that team, then you're liable to be sued. So I pray she really gets saved. I'd like to see it. But I'm just saying that with revival, there comes desire to forgive your enemies and to pray for them that persecute you. And that is the power of God. And how can you see that when you see somebody killing your husband and you say, I forgive that man. I refuse to have hate in my heart for that man. I'm not going to do that. And I thank God for that, because if you're going to have revival, that's what you need. And so preparing you for revival and the pouring out of revival, which comes from God in answer to prayer. Revival comes after, oftentimes, persecution in your life. And what are you going to do with those problems and persecution? Are you going to get bitter? Are you going to get hateful? Are you going to get, oh, I just give up? Or are you going to go to God for power and get outside of yourself, my friend? That's the challenge of preparation tonight. And I want to challenge you after persecution and problems come revival. But number two and last, revival comes after the preparation for it. Let me read what Paul wrote again. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, when he says to be strengthened by might with his Spirit in the inner man, that is not talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in revival. I used to think that, but it's not. You see, the pouring forth of the power of revival is at the end of this prayer, not right here. What this is the Holy Spirit, in answer to your prayer, preparing your spirit for revival. You need to be prepared for God to pour out His grace. You see, I don't believe there are many churches today that have had a great outpouring of revival like in the Great Awakening 1, Great Awakening 2, Great Awakening 3 around the turn of the century. I don't believe it, but I believe that you and I need to be prepared for this thing that we're praying for. You need to be prepared. And you say, well, how do I get prepared? You pray that the Holy Spirit of God, that you pray to the Father through the Son, amen, that the Spirit of God would, listen to me, prepare your heart for revival and prepare your spirit, because the Holy Spirit, first of all, works inside of your human spirit. And your spirit needs to be strengthened with might to prepare you for revival. We'll talk more about that, but rather, you know, you have here prayer for revival, then the power of the Holy Spirit, and then proclaiming the gospel. This P is really between prayer for revival and pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It's the preparation of your heart in answer to prayer, to prepare you for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? See, I had a whole message planned without putting this in there. And then I saw this, and I said, wow, I'm going to have to change my message. I was talking with one of our people this week, and I was talking about spiritual attacks. And I heard this witch say, you know, all these witches got together to give Charlie Kirk trouble. They tried to get Donald Trump, and they couldn't. They said he's protected by too much prayer. And this witch said she would go outside of her body, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but she was with these witches. They'd be able to go outside of their body and go to Christians' houses, and between 12 midnight and 3 in the morning, give them trouble in their sleep and attack them in their sleep. And this one witch, she said that where there was preparation made before they went to bed, she couldn't get in there. But she would go in, and she gave all these stories of dreams she gave and messing with Christians and messing them up in their sleep. But she said where there was Christian music playing, where they read Psalm 91 at night before they went to bed, where they went around the house and prayed, and as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, anointed the doorknobs, you know, with the oil and prayed and asked God to bless and to keep that. She said, I tried to get into the one place. She said, it was not like just I met an angel. She said, it was like the presence of God. And it knocked me back so far, I got saved. You see, you need to prepare for spiritual warfare. I believe a lot of Christians are not strengthened and prepared for what I want to preach on. And I told God when I started preaching this series, I said, I don't want to preach a bunch of platitudes that people don't understand. I don't want to preach a bunch of stuff that I don't even experience. I want to make sure this revival comes right out of the top shelf down to the bottom shelf, where you can understand it and get a hold of it here. And that is exactly what this preparation is all about. And I've been reading about this, and in Ephesians chapter 6, here's what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know why a lot of Christians, the devil messes with them at night? Because you're weak. You're spiritually weak. You're not strong. You're not even strong enough to put on the armor of God, because before you put on the armor of God, you have to be, what does it say? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You need a strengthening to put on the armor of God. What's the armor of God? It's simply your salvation. Belt of truth is the word of God. Shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace is that you have peace with God, like we're studying about in Romans. You understand that. You have the helmet of the hope of your final salvation, which is the rapture and the second coming and how he's going to get us out of tribulation and all that. You got that on you. You got the breastplate of righteousness, which is not your righteousness, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It covers your feelings, your heart, and you don't get overwhelmed by your feelings. And on it goes. I'm saying that a lot of Christians, you don't even have the armor on because you're not welded to the doctrines of your salvation like we're studying in Sunday school in Romans. You should be there and be studying that and asking God to open your eyes to that. And I have done that in my life, and I'm able to resist the devil and knock him back. You say, how do you knock the devil back? Resist the devil. 1 Peter, standing what? Firm in your faith. Faith looks at what God has given us in our great gospel of our salvation. And it is a great salvation he's given us. And with that salvation, you can resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Read about it. Read about it. But many Christians are not there, and you haven't prepared your house at night. You haven't prepared your life by being consistently in the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. It's the belt of truth, goes all around you, and it also is the sword of the Spirit. You take out of that belt and stick him with it. The Rhema, hey! And the Logos. Hey! The Word of God. And that's why I said you need the head of a Baptist, but it needs to be enlightened by the Holy Ghost. And you need that strengthening. And put that helmet on. You got that helmet on, the devil can't knock you out. You got the helmet on. You can move that head. Keep that head moving. Don't fight like a white man. White guys, they stand there, boom, boom, boom. I'm just saying, you've got to learn to prepare yourself for revival by realizing it comes after trouble and problems and persecution. It's an opportunity for you. We glory in tribulation. And because of tribulation, it works patience, it works hope, it works the pouring out of the love of God in your heart. That's revival, Romans 5. So many Christians don't have the head. They don't see it. And revival comes after the preparation for it so that you can stand firm in the Lord. One more thing I want to say, and I got to wrap it up. There are two aspects to this preparation. One is to fix any leaks in the pipes of revival. And the other preparation is to clean out the pipes from clogs in the pipe of revival. I worked with a plumber one time, and as I worked with him, Brother Jose Valley, does he have Wonder Church? He probably does, Children's Night Church. Brother Jose Valley, he should listen to this message later. I used to work with a plumber, and I realized I wasn't gifted to be a plumber. I tried. But that wasn't my gift. But one thing I did learn, when you turn that water off, before you turn that pressure on, that water pressure, if you had like frozen pipes, how many of you ever had frozen pipes? Okay. You had frozen pipes, you know when it thaws out, it's got leaks, right? And that water's go all over. A plumber has to turn that water off. And I've fixed my own pipes after a lot of learning experiences. But you turn the pipes off, you turn all the water off, and then you sand the fittings and you put on flux, and then you solder with your blowtorch, and that solder wraps around, and that fixes all the leaks, right? You know that, Ben. You're learning that. And then you turn the water on. If you don't fix the leaks and you turn the water on, you're going to have problems. You say, why didn't God pour out revival on this church or on me? You didn't fix the leaks in your life, in the pipes of your life. And God is saying you need the preparation to fix the leaks. And how do you do that? Well, number one, you're leaking by forgetting what you heard on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. And you say, where is that? Well, the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or that is in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, that means immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, God wants to show you where you're wrong. Some people don't like pointed preaching that makes them feel bad and show you where you're wrong. Well, that's because God wants to make you into a new man in Christ. But if you forget where he's convicted you and you don't deal with it, that's a leak in your life. So why should God keep pouring in blessing, spiritual blessing, and you just leak it all out? Don't be a forgetful hearer. Put it into practice. Don't be lazy about what you've heard. Secondly, you leak by forsaking church gatherings. I said you leak by forsaking. It says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner or the habit of some is. Some people never have enough sense to know when they're in a spirit-filled church that's going to touch their head, their heart, and their will, and they don't get in and lock in and stay there and be there for every service. You leak. You're leaky. Don't do that. Be here. And don't forget what you've learned. And some of you leak by the water running out of your big mouth. Excuse me. There goes the political correct. It's gone. You run it right out of your mouth. You talk too much. You see, these great men of God, they knew when to talk and when not to talk. They waited on their exhortation. Bobby, your timing is usually perfect. The Bible says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. How many times have you run your mouth at the wrong time and gotten into trouble and leak revival power? In Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. 10:19 and 21:23. A lot of times, just be quiet and wait on your exhortation. Esther knew that with the king. She knew when to talk to the king. She didn't just run in. If you're always running your mouth, you're not going to have power with the king. But if you wait, a soft word breaketh the bones. I'm thinking of a plumber. We don't turn on the water till we fix the leaks. You want revival, stop the leaks. Number two, if you want revival, fix the clogs. Ananias and Sapphira, they said, we're going to give everything we have from the sale of this land, and we're bringing it right here. And they told how much money they were given, and they were lying. They were hypocrites. That is a clog that will stop revival. So you say, what did God do? He took them out. He got rid of the clog. He killed them. They went right to heaven immediately. Now, that doesn't mean every time somebody dies, that's a clog. But I'm just saying that's what God did with them. And we had a guy in the church. He was over the ushers. He was the head usher. His name was Bob. This was decades ago. You would not know him. He had a wife. I won't mention her first name. And we had an exchange student named Harry from Africa who went to the Bible college. Well, Bob was doing a great work, and God was moving in our church. And his wife had a girlfriend, And while Bob was at work, this guy that was the exchange student would come by their house and talk to the two women. And Bob's wife committed adultery with him. I knew nothing about it. I was just preaching one day on the clog in the pipe of revival. And it all came out. She came forward. She said, "Pastor, I've been..." When Bob heard about it, I had to get the guy out of the church. I said, "You can't be here anymore." I said, "You can get right with God, but I can't have you in this church now." He was very sad, but I said, "I'm sorry." I'm talking about a clog in the pipe. That needs to get out. And that helps us. If you're harboring sin that keeps the Lord Jesus from turning on the water of the Spirit because he can't depend upon you, because you're clogged up with sin, get it out. Because there needs to be an understanding that we need to prepare for revival. We need to prepare our hearts for the pouring out of revival, and it comes after problems and persecution in your life, when you look to God in prayer to prepare your heart. And it comes when you prepare the pipes of revival in your life, getting the clogs out and fixing the leaks. May God help us to prepare tonight for revival. Let's bow for prayer together.